is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Time now for Inspiration to Creation with Nina Amir on News for the Soul. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today.
So much, Nicole. Welcome, everyone, to the Inspiration to Creation show. I'm Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation coach, and with each show, it's my intention to elevate your consciousness by reminding you of who you are, a spiritual being having a physical experience, a human experience. As a transformational catalyst, it's my goal to inspire you to rethink your limiting beliefs, rise to your potential, tap into your inherent wisdom, and live a human life that feeds your soul. And I'm here to help you get out of your own way, change from the inside out, step into your power as a creator. Ready to get inspired to create something amazing? Let's get going. Before I dive into today's show, though, I want to remind you that there should be time for questions or coaching at the end of this episode. So if you have questions about or would like to be coached on today's topic, which is how to stop fighting for your limitations, please call or write in. To call in, dial 646-595-4274. Write that down, 646-595-4274, or email onTheAir@tellus.net. So that's onTheAir@TELUS.net. And that info is also at newsforthesoul.com. I will answer questions and coach at the end of this episode. There should be time. So anyway, let's get going. I know you want to change. You want transformation, or you wouldn't be listening to this radio show. But even though you want to change, you continue to point out all the reasons why you can't change. You may already realize this, but fighting for your limitations is a broken strategy if you want transformation, that is. That's why we're talking about this subject today. I want you to experience transformation. But you have to become aware of how you fight for your limitations. Not your possibilities, not your potential. You need a strategy that works. So consider this. Every time you say, I really want to blank, fill in the blank with whatever your desired change is, like stop smoking, begin meditating, stop overeating, be more courageous. Okay? So you have, I really want to blank, but I can't because blank. And you're going to fill in that second blank with your reasons or limitations, such as I don't have the time or the money, my partner won't like it, I've tried and failed in the past. Whatever it is you tell yourself or others or creator, source, why you can't make this change. That's what you're doing. You're actually telling yourself and anyone listening, including source, that you don't want to change because you're saying, I really want to blank, but I can't because of whatever. Basically, what you're saying is you prefer to remain stuck. You'd rather argue for your circumstances or challenges that limit your potential transformation than to fight for possibilities and potential to fight for your transformation. Fighting for your limitations rather than your potential leads to frustration big time. It's why you feel so stuck and unable to change. And believe me, I know this well. I have been there, done that, in many life arenas. If I think back just to being a writer, so some of you know that I'm also, you know, besides being an intuitive transformational coach and a high performance coach, that I am also an author. So as a writer, I can't tell you how often I have argued for my limitations, that I can't write because I lack time. That is usually the big one. I can't write because, you know, I can't finish another book. I can't get another literary agent. I can't publish another book because I lack time. There are too many other things that I have to get done first. You know, put out all the fires. I have to write a blog post, handle email, or an affiliate promotion, or, well, prep a radio show. All of that seems to come first, right? It's the fire that I'm putting out before I can write. So that's the limitation, is I just don't have time. That's me arguing for my limitations. I can't write because I don't have enough time. And a lot of writers can relate to that. So think about, hold on. Hopefully I am not being cut off. Somebody's trying to call me. Okay, here we go. Sorry about that. Think about how often you actually say, I really want to blank, but I can't because blank. How often do you say that? Really? Right now, write down or recall at least one time you said something like that in the last week. I bet you won't find it hard. I can't go pick up something at the pharmacy because I have to do, you know, I have to take the kids to school. Or I can't lose weight because of my genetic makeup. I can't go to the gym because I don't have time. I can't look for a new job because I have so much work to do at my current job. Or I can't look for a new job because I'm afraid I'll get fired if they find out. I can't buy a new car because I don't have the money. All of these statements sound like reasons. More accurately, they're excuses. But they are both. They are reasons and excuses for not doing something. They are also you arguing for not being able to do something, your limitations, rather than arguing for why you can do it or will do it, your potential or possibilities. What I want you to do is focus on your potential. You know, I'm all about fulfilling your potential. So consider the fact that your words are powerfully creative. Each time you offer a reason why you can't change, you pick up a sword. And you fight off any possibility of reducing the challenges you perceive as enemies of your personal transformation. You're fighting off, you know, you're fighting for your limitations in that process. But anything is possible 100% of the time. Even your transformation. Even change. When you insist that you can't change because of circumstances in your life, you focus your attention on why you can't do something rather than on why you can do it. You tell your subconscious mind and source, creator, God, the circumstance is important and you want it in your life. You're saying you don't want it in your life, but by constantly focusing on why that circumstance is in your way, you're actually creating more of it. So one of my favorite authors is Richard Bach, and one of my favorite books, actually it started me on my path to personal and spiritual growth, is his book Illusions, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah. And in that book, he says, argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. So if you focus on your potential, you're going to experience transformation, but if you focus on your limitations and argue for those, focus on those, you're going to have more of them. Now, why would you do this? Why would you fight for your limitations? Fighting for your limitations seems crazy, especially since you want to change. Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And that's what you're doing. That's what I do. It's what almost everybody does until they become aware that they're fighting for their limitations over and over again. And that's pretty insane. It's a broken strategy, especially if you want to change. But it's human nature to find reasons. Well, admit it. They are excuses. Human nature to find excuses to justify why you can't do something that feels hard or scary. And that's the root of the issue. Different equates to hard and scary in our mind. And maybe we've been taught to believe that. Different is hard and scary. And the reptilian part of your brain, the oldest part of your brain, perceives any change as a threat to your life. Doesn't matter if all you're going to do is stop drinking coffee. It sees that as a threat. And so it gives you reasons, many reasons, why you can't change. And it does not want you to do anything different ever, especially if it's hard and scary. And it's going to tell you it's hard and scary and not to do it because it thinks you're going to die if you do. Not true. Not only that, your brain draws on the past to prove you can't change. That's why your desire to change is met with memories of the times you tried to change but failed. Or you remember all the times you did something different for a little while and then returned to your old ways. Your brain is going to point out these events to you as a way to deter you from trying again. Just the other day, someone I know, somebody I coach, she told me that she wanted to do things differently going forward, but she would not commit to it. I said, will you commit to doing it differently starting tomorrow? No. She said, I can't tell you or myself that I commit to taking this action consistently. And I said, why? She said, well, I could tell you. I could say, yes, I commit to taking this new action and I'll do it every day. But I've never stuck with it before. So I don't know why now would be any different, she said. And she didn't want to not keep her promises to herself, so she just wouldn't commit. In that moment, she was fighting for her limitations, her old limitations. I want to be clear about that. Maybe they were her past limitations, right? I never stuck with it before, so I don't know why I would be now. Well, before, that may be true. Now is totally different. She's different now, and so are her limitations. But she also has new possibilities, new potential, because she's a different person. Remember, the limitations you identified that you were fighting for, when I asked you earlier to do that, remember them and be honest. Is that a past limitation or a current one? If you say current, I want you to answer this question. Do you have any proof that that limitation still exists today, or is it only past proof? Probably not, because you haven't tried to do something different now, in this moment. If fighting for your limitations is a faulty strategy, then we have to ask, what's a better one? Fight for your potential. Fight for the possibility of change. I bet there have been times when you changed successfully. Or did something challenging or new, like losing weight, ending a bad relationship, or changing jobs. Additionally, I'm sure that there are times when you have the self-integrity to carry through on your promises to yourself. For example, maybe you learned a different language or developed a new habit. That's change. And if you kept with it, that's transformation. So I want you to think of something right now. Take a moment, search your past, and think of a time when you did something different or changed successfully, or you did it and got great results. You followed maybe your intuition and got inspired results. Okay, once you have that, I want you to replace your old memories of past failures, we'll call them failures, the ones you're holding on to as ammunition to fight for your limitations, with memories that provide proof that you can change. Okay, so replacing those old memories of past failures with memories that provide proof you can change. And then we're going to focus your thoughts and words on the possibility of doing that again. Did you get that? You're going to take the memories of the times when you did change and it went well with the old memories of when it didn't go well. Because here's the thing, the past doesn't need to repeat itself. Your brain thinks so, and therefore you think so, but it's not true. Despite what you think or have been told, the past does not need to repeat itself. Instead, you can create a totally different future if you choose to do so, with no inkling of those past experiences or results. But keep in mind that the past will repeat itself over and over if you continue using past experiences to justify the future turning out the same. I'm going to repeat that. The past will repeat itself if you continue using past experiences to justify the future turning out the same. That's a way to fight your limitations and to create what you don't want. You've heard the mental chatter before. It sounds a lot like the words used by, you know, by this client of mine. I failed before, so why bother? I'll just fail again. Maybe it doesn't use I. Maybe it says you failed before, so why bother? You're just going to fail again. Maybe it sounds like your mother or your partner or a teacher or a coach. Or maybe it's just you. But your thoughts are powerful. That mental chatter, those thoughts going on in your head, they're powerful. Just like your spoken words. Since they're constructed with words, thoughts are constructed with words. Author James Allen wrote, "You are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you." So what thoughts are you going to have? Are you going to have thoughts of past failures and how you're going to recreate those? Or are you going to have thoughts of past successes or new successes if you can't find a past success? And how that's the future you're going to create. It's your choice. So, how do you stop fighting for your limitations and fight for your potential instead? How do you implement this new strategy, a working strategy rather than a broken strategy? So there are five ways that I want to share with you today. Yeah, I know I always have like 5 ways, 10 ways, whatever. It makes it easy to break down the information. So anyway, the first thing is to replace the word can't with can. Can't with can. Language is everything when you're trying to create what you want in life. If you grew up in a religious household, maybe you were taught in the beginning was the word. In the world of metaphysics and New Age woo-woo stuff, esoteric mysticism, you likely were told, if you follow that, you likely were told to watch what you say because words are powerful creative tools. And it's true. How you speak affects what you manifest in your life. Pay attention to your language, how you say things. Of course, what you say stems from where you place your focus. So attention and speech go hand in hand. Attention and thought go hand in hand. Quote another person, Henry Ford, who said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Thoughts are words. And maybe you speak such things aloud, like, I don't think I can. If so, you're perpetuating your inability to do whatever you say. You're fighting for your limitations. And here's the thing, the spoken word has even more power than your thoughts, except that we tend to think the thoughts over and over and over again, and we may not speak the words as often, but words are enormously powerful, and I'll talk more about that in another episode. So typically we're told to focus on and speak about what we want. And that's excellent advice, especially if it stops you from the habit of focusing on and talking about what you don't want, right? So kind of fighting for what you don't want. The more you focus on and speak about what you don't want, the more energy you put into whatever you don't want. And I talked about that in the last episode, episode 6. So you may tell your friends or family, often how you don't want more bills. You don't want to get the flu. You don't want your husband to act that way, and you don't want more problematic clients. That puts your words to use creating more bills, the flu, your husband behaving that way again, and a slew of crazy-making clients. When you speak about what you do want, you focus both attention and language on what you want to create and bring into your life. You allow your words and all their creative force to help you manifest what you want. So let's take this concept a step further. When you focus on what you want, which again is way better than focusing on what you don't want, you continue to focus on lack. And lack is precisely what you don't want to create. Think about it. When you say, I want to find my right livelihood, a job or career that suits my personality, passions, and skill set, you're still focused on what you don't have. Yes, the lack or right livelihood is not the focus of the statement, but behind the scene in your unconscious mind, your mind is registering that you don't yet have your right livelihood. And that's where it focuses. If you say, I want to earn $150,000 this year, somewhere in your thoughts, which are made up of words, you are thinking or saying to yourself, I don't have an income of $150,000 a year. Of course, you wouldn't want these things if you already had them, right? You'd want something else. You bust out a new desire and focus on creating that. So it's a conundrum, right? How do you use your focus and language to create what you want? How do you use your focus and attention to not fight for your limitations? You focus on what you're creating or have created. I'm a fan of affirmations, but if you tell yourself I now earn $150,000 per year and you've been earning $25,000 per year, your mind has a hard time grabbing hold. It says, no, you don't. And by the way, I'm not stupid. Tell me something true. Plus, these types of affirmations can make some people feel worse about their situation or themselves. After all, a declaration like that, an affirmation like that, while positive and potentially powerful, reminds you that you don't have what you want. You haven't changed or done what's necessary to manifest it. But if you affirm, I am now creating an income of $150,000 per year, your mind responds differently and it says, okay, let's do that. How are we going to do that? Let's create some opportunities to do that and take action on them. Your mind starts working on finding solutions to the problem as well as attracting ways to achieve the goal. But if you're stuck in wanting, it's a different story. But if you create the kind of affirmations I'm talking about and focus your attention on creating it or having it, you aren't stuck in the wanting, especially in the creating. If you're focused on the creating it, you're fully engaged in creating what you want, possibilities, potential, and that's what you're fighting for those possibilities and that potential. So step number two is to replace the reasons why you can't change with why you can change. So it's a pretty simple step. It's a bit like writing affirmations. So recall the so-called reason you believe you can't do or have what you want. The limitation you identified already in this episode earlier that you're fighting for. The ones that prevent you from changing. So do that now. Recall the reason you believe you can't do or have what you want. That limitation that you identified. And remember we used the statement, I can't do X because of X, right? So we're going to reverse that statement. Instead of I can't do X because of X, I want you to write down or say I can do X, whatever your X is, because of X, whatever your X is. So I'll give you some examples. I can buy that new car because I can earn the monthly payment by starting that dog walking business I've considered. Even say, I can buy that new car because I know I can find a way to earn that monthly payment. Or I can start going to the gym because I can go on my lunch hour. Or focus on your inherent creative power or your skill or knowledge or tenacity. For instance, you could write or say, I can get a new job because I have the skills and knowledge that employers seek. And I know that sounds like an affirmation, and it is. But it's about fighting for possibility and potential, not your limitations. Well, consider I can lose weight because I've proven in the past that I can do so. I can do it again. So now you're looking at the past for your successes, right? And we'll talk more about that in a moment. You can even say, I'm a powerful creator. I can create whatever I desire, including a new job. Or I can earn more money because I'm committed to doing so. I have self-integrity and always follow through on my promises to myself, and that's why I can earn more money. So I want you to write down your new positive statement, the one that replaces all the reasons you can't do or have what you want, the limitations you previously fought for. This is a statement that fights for your potential and fights for possibility. So write that down. Okay, step number three is to stop using past failures to prove future outcomes. Stop using past failures to prove future outcomes. Now, this step can feel a bit more challenging, but it's really pretty simple. The first thing you're going to do is to identify the past failures or challenges you use as reasons, excuses, why you can't do or have what you desire. The reasons you can't change yourself or your circumstances. All the limitations you've been fighting for. I want you to list them. Like, write them all down. Okay? You're going to list the past failures or challenges that are your reasons why you can't do or have what you desire. All those limitations. I want you to write them down. All right, second, you're going to acknowledge that they are past experiences, over and done with. You don't need to continue revisiting them since you can't do anything about them. They're done. They're in the past. They don't even really exist anymore. Yeah, you experienced it. You can't change them. You can't do anything about them. They're over and done. So the third part of this step is to let them go. Let those past experiences go. They happened when you were a different person. Close your eyes for a minute and take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. I want you to do that again, and this time as you exhale, see all those negative or unwanted experiences fading away, disappearing as if they never happened. So try that. You're thinking about those past experiences, and on the exhale, so you think about them on the inhale, and on the exhale, you let them go. And you can do it several times, or as many times as you need to. You can let one thing go at a time. You can let them all go at a time. Just breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth. Let them all go. Okay? They've all disappeared. You've let them go. Which brings us to step number four. And that is to use your past successes to fight for your future possibilities. So now instead of looking at our past so-called failures, a whole other topic, but instead of looking at those so-called failures or challenges from the past and fighting for those limiting us, you're going to use your past successes to fight for future possibilities. So you've released or erased those old failures or challenges, and now you can replace them with future possibilities. So again, look in the rear view mirror. Review your past. Notice you can't see your failures anymore. They're not blocking your view. They're not first up. They're gone. And so now you can clearly see your successes. Sometimes it's hard for us to see our successes, especially when the past is there blocking the view. But now that's gone. I want you to clearly see your successes, like the time you lost 20 pounds and kept it off for 10 years, or the time you landed that dream job, or the time you met your soulmate without even trying, or the time unexpected money came in just when you needed to pay a large bill. Remember all your successes. Okay? Even if you just write down two or three related to whatever it is you want to create. And now I want you to use them to fight for your possibilities. So if you have that list, or even have one or two, You're going to use it to fight for your possibilities and your potential. How are you going to do that? You're going to write new statements or speak them. Statements like, I can buy a new car because I did so before and found ways to pay the monthly bill. Or I can land that promotion because I've been promoted at least 5 times in the past. So whatever it is for you, you're now going to write a statement or speak a statement that fights for your possibilities and your potential. I can X because I X in the past. Fight for those possibilities and your potential. Okay, number 5. Decide to be someone who can change. Decide to be someone who can change. If you want transformation, you need to change your identity. And this is the most effective way to create quick and long-lasting change. Choose who to be, and then be that person. Okay? Choose who to be, and then be that person. People think that their identity is fixed, but it's not. Identity, your identity choices impact the success you achieve in any life arena. As I see it, your identity is the birthing place for your habits, behavior, mindset, personality, and values. How you show up, interact with, and perceive the world always aligns with who you are being. Who you are being, B-E-I-N-G, your identity. That's why when you change your identity to one that aligns with your goals, transformation happens really fast. I work with identity a lot with my clients for this reason, and I have used it for myself. You know, even to just say, I am a writer, sends me towards the habit of writing daily. So let's look a little closer at what identity really is. Identity is commonly defined as the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. But it also refers to your sense of who you are as an individual and as a member of social groups. Plus, identity tends to emerge from your sense of how others perceive and label you. Now, it's common to hear the term ego equated to your identity. It's the part of you considered to be yourself, as distinguishing yourself from the self of others. So yourself as opposed to others' people's self. It's a reasonable decision-making part of your conscious mind, actually. But at its core, identity is essential to human existence. Your identity consists of characteristics, beliefs, and values that define who you are as a human being, as a person, and it distinguishes and makes you who you are now. But identity is not permanent, even though so many people believe it is. You can change your identity at any moment and change your results, your circumstances, your interactions, your ways of approaching or seeing the world in the process. And identity shifts happen fast, and that's why as a transformational coach, I like to work on identity, because when we shift our identity, everything shifts really quickly. Even as a high-performance coach, in one of our first sessions, we talk about choosing words that describe characteristics, like courageous. And that's actually choosing to be a courageous person. It's a choice, an identity choice. Okay? So here's how fast your identity can shift. The moment a woman discovers she's pregnant, she becomes a mother. That's an identity shift. The moment a man gives up drinking, he becomes a non-drinker versus a drinker. The moment you get promoted to a managerial position, you're a manager. All it takes is a moment to shift your identity and change your life. The same holds true when you consciously choose to change your identity. So, for instance, I changed my identity from someone uncommitted to her marriage to someone committed to her marriage. And that shift in identity saved my marriage. I also went from being someone who lacked self-integrity to someone who is self-integral. So by keeping my promises to myself, being self-integral, having self-integral, I became more productive and I started consistently exercising, reading, and writing. All because I decided to be somebody who has self-integrity. I also changed my identity from angry to loving. I am an angry person, I'm a loving person. And wow, what a difference that made to my marriage and my other relationships. It also changed how I feel every single day. I'm now more centered and peaceful and happy. Now, there are a host of benefits that you might experience from choosing a new identity. And I really probably should have just done a whole show on identity, and maybe sometime I will, although I'm giving you a lot of that information right now. But, a host of benefits you can experience from a new identity. Here's the first and the most powerful one. When you select a new identity, you see yourself differently. So, for example, if you've always considered yourself someone who doesn't finish what you start, and then you choose to be someone who completes things, wow, in that case, you're going to see yourself capable of getting to done, right, to finishing. And that means you'll see yourself as committed and tenacious and productive. Also, you're going to stop doing a lot of behaviors that were aligned with your old identity. For instance, if you used to be a smoker and choose to be a non-smoker, you're going to stop smoking. Why? Non-smokers don't smoke. Same is true if you go from being a carnivore to being a vegetarian. You're not going to eat meat anymore. Also, the behaviors you desire that align with the new identity will easily and quickly become habitual. So let's say, like me, you choose to be a writer. Writers write. So with your new identity as a writer, you're likely to decide to write daily and follow through on that commitment, to be self-integral about it. After all, that's what a writer does. They write. Following through with that same example about being a writer, you probably won't waste a lot of time or energy debating with yourself about whether or not to write every day. You're just going to do it. No questions asked. No resistance or procrastination. Just you doing what writers do. And along with your new identity comes a corresponding set of beliefs, values, and mindsets. All of these help you achieve the results you desire simply because you're being someone different. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that choosing an identity and becoming that person, though, is a long process. Because if you believe it's going to take long, it will. There's you fighting for your limitations. I could choose a new identity and become that person, but it's going to take me a long time. Okay? Fight for that limitation. Go for it. Or fight for it being quick, like flipping a switch. Now, this last step of choosing who to be is the most effective one when it comes to really anything, but also fighting, not fighting for your limitations and instead fighting for your potential and your possibility. If you're someone who can change, you will change. That result is 100% possible, even probable, based on your identity. Plus, when you're someone who can change, you fight for your potential and see possibility everywhere, and you experience transformation as a result. You're not fighting for your limitations anymore. So since I've talked so much about identity, I'll give you just, some quick tips on how to choose and take on a new identity, because I don't want to leave you hanging. Like I said, maybe I'll do another show on this topic, but there are four steps, really, only another set of steps for taking on a new identity. The first is to decide who you need to be to accomplish the goals you have. Your intention could be related to relationships, finances, career, health, or something else. If you aren't sure what identity you need, just ask yourself, what type of a person would be able to accomplish this goal? And the answer might be someone courageous or someone productive and committed. As soon as you have that, you know who you need to be. Okay, the second thing to do is to consciously choose that identity, that new identity. Decide consciously and intentionally to shift your identity in a way that helps you be someone who can do the things that will allow you to accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish. So depending on your goal, you could choose to be someone who meditates every morning at 5 a.m., writes daily, eats a vegan diet, drinks tea instead of coffee, anything like that. The third step is to do the things a person with that identity would do. So initially, you have to be entirely intentional about acting like the person you are now being, the person you've chosen to be, this new identity. But you'll begin habitually taking those actions pretty quickly, sometimes almost instantaneously. You'll do them automatically without thought because you're now a person who does that. One of my mentors, Jim Fortin, he always talks about how he was a Coke, you know, a Diet Coke drinker. Decided not to drink Diet Coke, and he never drank it again. It changed that quickly in that moment. And then the last thing, last step here, number four, is to be the person with that identity. Taking on a new identity is about being the person you choose to be from the moment you decide who you want or need to be. And taking on the new identity is not about faking it until you make it. It's not about faking it until you make it. Because that approach to identity change only reinforces the belief that you're not yet the person you want to be. And in that process, you continue to fight for your limitations. Oh, I'm just faking it till I make it. I'm not that person yet. You're fighting for your limitations. Don't do that. Be who you've chosen to be. Because once you've decided on a new identity, you want to just be that new version of you. Even if at first it doesn't feel like you, at first it does feel a little bit like you're faking it, but just don't focus on that. Affirm that you are now a person who, whatever, meditates every morning, writes daily, eats vegan food, drinks tea, whatever it is for you, and be who you've chosen to be, period. Align all your actions with that new identity, and then notice how easy it becomes to fight for your potential and create new possibilities consistently. So think about it. After all, someone with that identity wouldn't fight for their limitations. They'd know that that's a broken strategy. And instead, they would fight for their potential. In fact, they'd use a different strategy, one that has them fighting for their potential and living into possibilities consistently. And now, after listening to today's show, you can do that. You can do that too. You know how. Just put this new strategy to use and put down, you know, any weapons you have in your thoughts and your words and your ways of being that continue having you fight for your limitations, because that is never going to work for you. Never. You want to fight for your potential and for possibility. So I'm so curious to know whether you fight for your limitations or potential. And if you have any questions or want coaching on this topic, if so, call in now to 646-595-4274, or you can email your questions in at ontheair@tellus.net. So I'm going to see if Nicole has anyone there. Nicole, do we have any people who have asked questions or would like coaching?
Can you hear me now?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay,
I couldn't
good.
There for a moment.
A little glitchy here. The board's been a little glitchy today. We have our first question from Cheryl in Wisconsin, and she's saying, when there are money deadlines, how do you continue being something alternatively more prosperous?
Alternatively, what was the last part?
Alternatively more prosperous.
More prosperous. Okay. So when there are many money deadlines, how do you stay in that prosperous mindset? Is that about right?
Sounds pretty close.
Okay. So, and it was Michelle, right? So Michelle, when you have money deadlines, like I'm assuming you mean you need to pay a bill or something like that, and you don't have the money, the best thing you can do is to be prosperous in your mind. And you've probably heard that before. But the thing is that your brain
can be retrained. And as part of choosing who to be and not fighting for your limitations, you want to keep fighting for the possibility of having that money and the potential of having that money. And so you want to just keep convincing yourself of that being true. I mean, if you know anything about the law of attraction, then it's all about vibration and being that now. So I know that it's hard. Money issues are, I think, the most challenging. I hate to say that, but I really feel you, because they are challenging when there's not enough money in the bank and you've got deadlines to pay things. It can be very hard to feel prosperous. And so what I want you to do is to go sit somewhere beautiful and peaceful and to just imagine paying that bill and having money left over for the next bill and more money flowing in, and just see and feel yourself prosperous. And that's the identity that you want to choose, is I choose to be prosperous, right? I choose to be financially prosperous or financially abundant, and then just keep visualizing it and feeling it and imagining what it's going to be like. And imagine possibilities being out there, 100% possible 100% of the time. What is it, if you could wave a magic wand, what would it look like to be financially prosperous? And just keep visualizing that. The other thing is to take some affirmations of action, because sometimes it's hard for us to get to that feeling place. And so affirmations of action are things like, you don't want to go spend money when you don't have any, but you could go sit somewhere really, like go to the, expensive hotel or something and just sit in the lobby. Or you could go to some gorgeous park and just be in nature and see the abundance and prosperity in nature. Or you could, if it doesn't make you feel lack, you could go to a store and look at the beautiful clothing, or go to a jewelry store. Jim Fortin's program, we're always told to go do something like look at an expensive car, or look at expensive jewelry, things that we would like to have, and don't get into lack, but just imagine what it'd be like try on the ring and see what it feels like to wear the ring, that kind of thing. So that would be my suggestion, is to try those things. I hope that's helpful, Michelle. Nicole, do we have anything else?
I'm just pulling up the next. So Sheila in New York is asking how you continue holding the space of being what you want to be in the company of others who are negative influences.
Ah, okay. Good question, Sheila. So if it were me and I'm trying to be this new identity and I want to hold that, when there are people who are negative or are negative influences, I wouldn't tell them what I was doing. I would just be it. Because here's the thing, you just want to be that. You don't have to announce it to the world. Whatever identity you choose, just choose it and then act in accordance with it. And if they're negative, do you have to be with them? We don't have to choose even to be with our family if they're negative. So ask yourself, would a person who was being X, whatever you want to be, hang out with these negative people? Because the other thing is, I can't remember who said it, but we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. So if the time you spend is with people who are negative, then first of all, it's going to make it really hard for you to change. Second of all, you're in negative frequency, negative energy. And you don't want to do that. You want to be in a high positive vibe so that you can create what you want. And you want to be with people who are affirmative of the changes you're making. So I would say be really careful about who you spend time with. And if you can't choose to not be with those people, because sometimes we can't, then, like I said, just continue behaving, showing up as the person you want to be. So I hope that's helpful, Sheila. Anything else, Nicole?
Well, actually, we've just got 4 minutes to the top, so it's time for shameless self-promotion and main takeaways.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Nicole. All right, so today we've been talking about a topic that was focused
on your personal growth, your transformation, but it's also a topic related to spiritual growth because your soul wants you to break through those perceived limitations. It knows you're limitless. You have so much potential and it wants you to achieve your spiritual and human potential. You are a human being having a human or physical experience. I'm sorry, you are a spiritual being having a human or physical experience. And when you participate in personal and spiritual growth, you become a powerful creator. You break through those old stories about limitation. You stop fighting for them, and instead you fight for your potential every day, and you step into being the kind of person you want to be. And transformational coaching helps you step into being the person you know you can be, you know you want to be, so you can access your powerful creative ability and all your potential. It's about being a creator and being a person who can do and have what they desire and live in soul alignment. I believe that creating transformation, long-lasting change, requires a holistic strategy that addresses all of who you are. That's when quick and lasting change occurs, which is why I provide both in the Inspired Creator community. You know I'm an intuitive transformational coach and a certified high-performance coach, and in my Inspired Creator community, a membership program, I offer live coaching 3 times per month with me, not some other coach, as well as recorded spiritual trainings to help you step into your power as an Inspired Creator and create a life that feeds your soul. So if you want to find out more about the Inspired Creator community, go on over to ninaamir.com, that's ninaamir.com/join ICC. ICC stands for Inspired Creator Community. ninaamir.com/join ICC. You can join the Inspired Creator Community at any time. Everything has been recorded and archived, and there's no right or best time to join except when you feel the intuitive nudge, when your soul whispers in your ear, it's time to change, time to transform. Time to be who you're meant to be, to fulfill your potential, to create what you truly desire and what is for your highest good. That time's now, is it not? In just a few weeks, the Inspired Creator Community members will be shifting focus from activating their human drives, which are actually drives that come from our soul. They'll be shifting to personal power and personal freedom. Why don't you just think about it? What would it be like to feel free to move forward towards your potential? To feel powerful enough to take advantage of all the possibilities before you? You probably realize that would allow you to make the changes, do and have the things you desire, right? If you agree and you feel that push toward achieving your potential and becoming an inspired creator and living a life that feeds your soul, join me in the Inspired Creator Community. Just go to ninaamir.com/join ICC. If group coaching is not your thing, we can work together one-on-one, either transformational coaching or high-performance coaching. You can have a free 15-minute strategy session with me to find out if we're a good fit and which program would be best for you, one-on-one or group, transformational or high-performance coaching. Just go to ninaamir.com/15-free. And that is the number 15 free. ninaamir.com/15-free. That is it for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Inspiration to Creation. And until I talk to you again in a few weeks, go out there and achieve more inspired results. Thanks for listening.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.